Well, it's my privilege to be back again here at Allegheny Baptist. It's a wonderful opportunity to connect with friends, and I was saying in Sunday school, we had a little Sunday school time, I was talking about recent visits. So last few years, a couple times, I was going to say like a bad penny or something, but I show up, and it's always a privilege. It's great to see you today. Jeannie is back at her home church. There's a women's activity this afternoon, so she's back. She's a busy lady and travels about half the time with me because of some of her other ministries and things she's involved in. And I always wonder when I come out this way what the weather's going to be like. And earlier in the week, they talked about some snow. Did you get any snow from that storm that maybe got not much anyway, but you normally do. And I was prepared because my brother-in-law has a weather forecaster out his back door. Maybe you've seen these. It's a little plaque thing on a stand with a piece of yarn that comes down. Have you seen that? And I took the instructions right off of it. It's the weather forecaster for the poor man, like most of us, you know. You can get this weather forecast. Hang the piece of yarn. Check it each morning. If it's wet, it's raining. If it's stiff, it's freezing. If it's white, it's snowing. If it's moving, it's windy. If it's faded, it's sunny. If it's gone, it's ripped off. We're living at a time now, we're heading into the winter where, you know, it's going to be these unpredictable days, but it was a nice ride over. There were a few flurries around. I thought, it was a little bit of snow around Cuba, but, you know, pretty much an easy ride. Always a privilege to travel and be in our churches. I mentioned a few things about the network in Sunday school. I'll only say that I have transitioned to associate director. There's a note on your worship sheet about that, but I remain involved as associate director of the Northeast Fellowship, so I'm out preaching on weekends, and I'm mainly working with pastors and church leaders in consulting areas and training. So I am in charge of the Serve Boldly Conference and our ongoing education classes for pastors, and I'm the president of our new school, the Northeast School of Theology and Ministry. So I'm kind of in charge of that new ministry. So I don't know. Is that going to work for slowing down? I'm not sure. But so I'm very much involved. And so it's always a privilege to be in churches like this and have this opportunity. Thanks for your prayers for the Northeast Fellowship. We have actually done quite well through the COVID year. And our churches are doing good. They're meeting and adjusting to some of the new way of doing things. And we're all hopeful, aren't we? We're hopeful for some change, maybe through a vaccine and maybe through some other measures that we can get back to normal, whatever that will be for us in the light of all of this. But we're anticipating that in the year ahead, that there'll be some adjustments. And so God's blessing on you as you continue to serve the Lord and reach people in this particular area. One of the things I've noticed about my preaching is that I've enjoyed, as I prepare to preach, going back to some of the great old verses that are very familiar to us that sometimes have become too familiar. Sometimes we recite them or we state them, we have them memorized usually, and we may miss the import and the meaning. So this morning, I want to direct your attention to one of those kinds of verses that you're familiar with. Join me in Psalm 118. If you'd go there to Psalm 118. Did I forget the advancer? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Psalm 118. Go to Psalm 118. You probably will not need to be reminded of the words once I read it for you. Psalm 118 and verse 24 is a familiar one. And it's one that I often hear people quote and refer to. And it's not surprising that they do so. Here's the words in verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Well, let me just put it in context. This is a praise psalm. It's not a short psalm. It's not like the one after it, where it's very lengthy. But it's a psalm of praise and thanks. We don't know the background of the psalm historically. If you have a study Bible, they'll give you some ideas about this. Perhaps it was sung or read when people, or it was written originally when people came back from captivity. Maybe a special feast time in Jerusalem. There were annual feasts where people gathered in Jerusalem to honor the Lord and remember things in the past and worship God. But we don't know for sure about the context of this, so I'm taking verse 24 at face value. Here the psalmist is simply giving praise for the day and seeking to focus us or his readers upon the significance of the day, the specific day. Now, if you're taking notes, I don't have an outline, but if you wanted to jot down, there are really three main themes emphasized in this verse, and I'm going to mention them. Three things that the psalmist, I'm going to put them up on the screen, says that summarize the meaning of this verse. So the next time we quote it, the next time we make reference to it, we can have some of these things in mind. Here's the first thing. Let me take us there. First of all, note with me that the psalmist acknowledges God's sovereignty over our days. And here's the phrase that's obvious right in the text. It begins, verse 24, by reminding us here in verse 24 that this is the day the Lord has made. The Lord has made. It speaks of the fact that God is sovereign over our days. When we talk about God's sovereignty, what are we referring to? We're not referring to an attribute. It's not about his holiness or his being a person who is all-powerful. It's not his all-knowledgeable person. It's not about his holiness and his justice or even his wrath. But God's sovereignty is about God's position, not about his person. And to speak of God as sovereign speaks of him as supreme over all. And he is such because he created everything, and he rules everything. One of the words in Psalm 115, one of the verses emphasizes, our God sits in the heavens, he does whatever he pleases. That's a verse that speaks of God's sovereign position. Every one of us and every ruler and leader answers to someone. There's someone or a group of people that everyone is responsible to. Except God. He's responsible to no one but himself. He is the supreme sovereign. He is Lord of lords, king over all kings. He's the creator and sustainer of this world and universe. He's sovereign. Now, to compare that, keep your place right here. We'll come back to Psalm 118. But one of the clearest references to God's sovereignty is found in 1 Timothy. You come to the end of 1 Timothy chapter 6, and there's a reference there to this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, where there's a reference to God toward the end of this chapter that speaks of his sovereignty, and some of the words that are used are significant. I'm looking at verse 15, I'll jump in the middle here, the sentence. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or ever can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. This is a verse about God's sovereignty. He's the blessed and only potentate. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. These are descriptors of God as the sovereign one. He's in charge of everything. He's the ruler and leader of the universe. I read some time ago a piece by J. Vernon McGee. Some of you may know about McGee, but he talked about God's sovereignty. He makes the rules. He does as he pleases. God's sovereign in the world and the universe. He said, well, some people might say, well, who's he to tell me what to do? What gives him the right to tell me what's important and what I should be doing? Who do you think you are, some say. And this is what J. Vernon McGee said. He said, this is God's universe. He does things his way. You may think you have a better way, but you don't have a universe. The reality is that God is sovereign. And the wonderful thing to remember about this is that God, in his sovereignty, is in control of and is overseeing and is sovereign over our days. Now, I think of God's sovereignty normally, and I think of the universe and all that God has to do with all that's going on in the world and all that he has created. I had an associate pastor, my last pastorate, who was an amateur astronomer. So occasionally he would drag me out in the church parking lot on a dark night in a clear sky. And he had this, it was a really nice telescope, and get it out there, and he'd talk about the different constellations and stars. You know, he was a wonderful, he was actually a worship pastor, and he knew how to worship God in the light of the universe, too, but he was pointing stuff out. And I remember him telling me, we talked about this. He said, you know, we can only see about 10,000 stars on a clear night, you know, in the expanse of an open space, visible to the naked eye. Some of those stars represent galaxies, and now we know there are millions of galaxies out there, and they represent many other stars. But he talked about the vastness of what God has created in the heavens. And then he talked about the fact that the universe itself is unfathomably large. Astronomers still measure distance in light years. Now, they have some other terminology to use, but I just read recently they talk about light years. The distance light travels in a year, about 6 trillion, the speed of light over a year is 6 trillion miles. So we measure space based on light years. And our Milky Way galaxy is like 100,000 light years across. So rather than multiplying the 6 trillion by 100,000, you know, it's just vast. Our galaxy is huge. And our solar system moves around in our galaxy. And the nearest galaxy to ours, the Milky Way galaxy, is Andromeda, and that is like 2 million light years away. The vastness of this. And then it's all moving, you know. The Earth is spinning on its axis at 1,000 miles an hour at the equator. And then the Earth is moving around the Sun, as are the other planets, at about 65,000 miles an hour. So the Earth is spinning, and then it's rotating. And the solar system is also rotating. So our solar system within the galaxy is rotating. It's on a big rotation, and that's even, you know, 500,000 miles an hour. It's all moving, and the whole galaxy is exploding away. It's heading in a direction. Everything's moving. God's in charge of all of this. He's in charge of the planets and their movements, and he's placed them in space. But what about people? Remember the psalmist in Psalm 8? When I consider thy heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars that thou hast made, what is man that you are, or mankind, that you are thinking of him? You are mindful of him. And then he speaks of God's concern for people. You know what? The God who controls the universe controls and is interested in our lives too and what happens to all of us. This is the day the Lord has made. He's made the heavens, but he also cares about our days and is sovereign over what happens in our lives, our days. The writer of Proverbs, in Proverbs 16 and verse 9, he talks about this. And the writer of Proverbs says, you know, in our hearts we make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. This is the day the Lord has made. So it emphasizes, first of all, this verse. It emphasizes, if you go back to Psalm 118, it emphasizes the sovereignty of God over our everyday lives. He cares about all of us, and he knows what's happening in our lives. He's sovereign over our days. Here's the second thing. The psalmist also emphasizes the importance of focusing on one day at a time. Do you notice how it begins? This is the day the Lord has made. And it ends, I will rejoice and be glad in it. What's the it there? It's today. There's a focus in this verse upon today. The emphasis upon what's happening today. God's concern for us today. This is the day, he writes. Have you ever noticed in Scripture how much emphasis there is upon living today? The importance of taking care of things today, being where we need to be spiritually today, the responsibility with regard to today. I think of what we call the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, our daily needs, the focus even in our prayer lives on what is important for us to take care of today or trust him for today. Of course, that reminds me of the Old Testament accounts. And I'm going to just take this down if I can. Let me go this way. Reminds me of the Old Testament account of manna. Do you remember the story, wandering in the wilderness and God provided manna? Now, we really don't know fully what manna was. In fact, the meaning of it is, what is this or what is it? You know, it's kind of unique. God provided probably a bread-like, cracker-like substance every morning for his people as they wandered in the wilderness after they had left Egypt. He provided food for them. And their responsibility was to gather it, remember? You can read about this in the book of Exodus. Probably about the middle of that book, chapter 15 or so, you can read about God's provision of manna. Now, what's interesting about the manna was you were to collect it every day. Do you remember that account? You can read about this. They were to go out every morning and collect, gather the food for the day, the manna. But they are clearly told that you can't, and it would be my thinking, would it be yours? I would think, you know, look, maybe I'll just spend a little more time on Monday and collect about 3 or 4 days' worth of manna. And then I'll have to do this every morning. But they were clearly told, if you do, it's going to rot. You have to do this every day. Oh, by the way, except for Fridays. Because on Fridays, in the light of the Sabbath, you're not to be out there gathering on the Sabbath. So the Scripture specifically says that they were instructed, but on Friday you can gather 2 days' worth, and it will not go bad. You know, why was God making the people do this every day? There was a focus on daily trusting him, daily looking to him for food, daily going to him for their needs. There was a focus on today in the manna issues there. The daily provision of God for the people's needs. You know, there's something about today that we can lose sight of. Some of us, would you agree? Some of us kind of live in the past. You know, maybe there's a past success or joy that we just keep looking back to. It's hard for us to focus on today because we're kind of living in past glory and past success. Sometimes it's past failure, and sometimes it's past struggle, something that's happened in our past that's been hurtful, and we can never get past it to live for today in the light of our past. And for some of us, it's the future. We're always looking for the future. and we're hopeful about the future, and we should be, but we can live in the future and not really enjoy today. We're worried about where we're going to be next year and what we're going to have when we retire, and sometimes we can become so future focused we lose sight of today. Now, we should be appreciative of the past. We should learn from the past. And we certainly should be anticipating what God has in mind for us in the future. But we need to live today. Learn from the past, lean into the future, but live today. Some people just really can't enjoy today because of the challenges of the past or the anticipation of the future. But here, the psalmist wants us to focus, or examples, the focus on today. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, in today, a focus on today. Somebody asked an 87-year-old woman, and, you know, what was it like back in your day? And she said, this is my day. She said, this is my day. She was understanding the perspective to live in the moment and understand the importance of living for today. I sometimes hear this from people that talk about getting things right with God someday. I've counseled with people as a pastor, encouraged them with taking care of some issues in their lives, their habits, maybe some relationship things that need to be healed, and someday I'll do that, but why not today? Look, here's an emphasis upon taking care of business today. If you're not living for Jesus, don't be thinking, well, you know, I'm gonna probably think about spiritual things someday in my future. Take care of it today. If you have an unresolved conflict with someone and you keep putting it off and you keep thinking about later or sometime, why not today? Determine to take care of things today that need to be taken care of. Don't put it off to the future. Deal with issues today that need to be taken care of. Honor God by acknowledging the importance of things today. The psalmist emphasizes that. The focus on today, understanding and learning from the past, realizing we have a future. But don't allow those to deter us from being all we should be before God today. So the psalmist, secondly, focuses on one day at a time. Do you notice that in there? This is the day, he writes. This is the day. Okay, and there's one more, if you're taking notes. Actually, I didn't put the phrase up there, but the phrase to notice is the beginning phrase. This is the day. He's focusing on one day at a time. Well, there's a third point here, a third emphasis. The psalmist makes it a choice to be joyful today. He emphasizes the choice of being joyful today. You know, the responsibility for joy in our lives is our own. It's not about our parents. It's not about our boss at work. It's not about our extended family. It's not about our children. It's about us. You know, we're responsible for joy in our lives. And sometimes it boils down simply to this, making the choice to be joyful. Even if the day is not in and of itself without challenges, we can choose to be joyful. You know, there's a natural joy that we all have when things go well. I mean, we can acknowledge the reality of that. You know, I have a son-in-law who grew up in the Chicago area who is a Cubs fan. And when the Cubs won the World Series, what year was that? Was that like 16 or something? You know, they won the World Series. He had a perpetual smile on his face after over 100 years waiting for the Chicago Cubs to win a championship and a lot of pain and struggle. The North Siders in Chicago finally had a chance to celebrate. And he was a big Cubs. He was faithful to the Cubs, even through the lean years. And when they won it all, he was just we're privileged to be grandparents. And we just had one born in the Chicago area to the same family less than a year ago. It's kind of exciting. You normally don't have to tell grandparents to smile. There's something about grandkids, some of the things that they say and do, especially the little ones. Most of ours are little ones. So they're just so cute. And we're seeing videos that our kids send us of their children, our grandchildren. And some things make you naturally feel joyful. If you go to the doctor and you've been struggling with some physical illness and he gives you a good report, you naturally are going to be happy about that. There's going to be some joy in understanding some of that. If you have had a financial burden and something gets solved and now you have a greater understanding of God's blessing providing for you financially, maybe through a difficult time, you're able to give praise and it's joyful. But what about choosing joy when the circumstances are not positive? I think in a verse like this, there's a reminder that sometimes we have to choose joy. It doesn't come naturally. It comes out of our understanding of God's sovereignty over our days, but also his care for all of us. We have to choose joy. There's a time to choose joy. And here in this verse, there's a reminder to me of the importance of choosing joy in our lives, of understanding our responsibility before God. To not only appreciate the good times, but even in difficult times, to be able to choose joy. Rejoice and be glad in it. Even if it's a difficult day, we choose to be joyful and be glad and respond in that way. I think that's what God wants for us in these difficult days. I've often thought about the challenges with COVID and some of the issues that many people have had to face. We have some serious issues in some of our churches. We had an outbreak in a Pennsylvania church that, you'd think this was in the hills of Pennsylvania, south of Towanda, in kind of an open area, and they had an outbreak in their church. And their pastor, a friend of mine, Lee Cleaver, is still in the hospital. He's been on a ventilator for over a month with COVID. He's in his 60s. He's a few years younger than me, but just was hit very hard with this. We had a pastor in New York City who died earlier this year. The only other pastor I know of that's been serious in our network of churches, but he died. One of our pastors in the boroughs of New York City died of COVID back in March. So we've had to deal with some of these kinds of things and some burdens with others, not just pastors, but others that attend these churches who have come down with COVID and have had some serious challenges. Some of our people have lost their jobs and they will probably be permanent in some of our churches and locations because of what's happened with COVID and the shutdowns and all these kinds of things. So they're struggling to make ends meet because of all that we've been going through. This is an important theme for today. I don't know what you've been facing, what you've been working through in the light of COVID and maybe other things. But the message is still clear here. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The challenge to be glad and to give God praise and to understand choosing joy even when times are hard. How do we do that? Why do we choose, or how can we choose joy in difficult times? Well, we can because we know that God orders our days, like the first part of this verse says. He made our days. He knows about what we're going through. He understands because he's purposed for us to learn and grow through difficult times. And we can be thankful that God is in charge. I have some friends and some contacts with people who are not believers who have been going through this struggle. And I think it's especially hard for people that don't have someone to turn to, someone to lean on, someone to commit their needs to in a personal way And so they struggle through these kinds of issues without a knowledge of God through his son Jesus. And they become even more difficult. But we who know the Lord know he's in charge. There are no surprises with him, and he has ordered our days. He knows about our steps. He's allowed us to face what we have faced because of his purpose and plans to sharpen and to serve us. So important, this particular emphasis in Scripture upon God's care for us, and then our need to choose joy even when times are difficult. This is the day the Lord has made. The psalmist writes, I will rejoice and be glad in it. He emphasizes the fact that God is sovereign over our days, that we ought to keep focus on today. And thirdly, that in the midst of today, whatever it brings, we have the opportunity to give him praise and to express true joy to him. I have a little piece I wanted to read, and I'll conclude with this. I have a little piece I wanted to read that emphasizes God's care for us. Joe Bailey was a writer. He edited Eternity Magazine many years ago, and he wrote a book of poems called Psalms of My Life on this very verse, and I thought it was good, and I'm going to conclude with this and then prayer. He wrote, this is the day the Lord has made. The Lord? Today? Yesterday perhaps could claim your craft, or hopefully tomorrow, but not today, this disappointing day, so filled with problems and needs and despair and doubt. This is the day the Lord has made, and making it, he will give me strength and hope to take me through. This is the day the Lord has made, so I'll be glad and I'll rejoice in it. I hope you'll be able to do that today. I do want, before I conclude, to just, excuse me, to just mention the importance of making sure that you know the Lord. Excuse me. That you have a relationship with God, the one who is the maker of our days. The Bible says we are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So I hope you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. That there was a point in your life when you realized that you were a sinner and separated from God, and that your only hope of salvation was through Jesus, who died in your place and shed his blood and rose again to provide eternal life as a free gift. And we receive that gift by faith. We are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Paul writes that in Galatians. Have you put your faith in Jesus? When you have the hope, the assurance, and the comfort of God in your life, even in the midst of hard days, and you're able to express joy and praise to him. I hope you'll join me in doing that. Let's pray and ask God to help us with this, and then we'll sing a closing song. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful as a follower of yours, among these my fellow Christ followers, for the simple message of this short verse that reminds us of the fact that we should be joyful in our days, realizing that you've planned our days. You know about what we face. You are the maker of our days. And as we focus on today, that we might take seriously our responsibility to honor you, to live for you, to be faithful to you, and of course, as we've mentioned, to express joy and gladness in the light of all that you mean to us. You know how we should apply this. Help us know in our individual lives what you want us to do in response to this simple verse that we all know so well. Give us wisdom by your Spirit in understanding and applying your word today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
going to be singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So I'd ask that you stand, number 133, if you want to follow along.